So we left off with a bit of a cliffhanger. The first Shach writes, "Kedei shetifsok b'tara b'nish mashos." And we ask, what exactly is the chiddush? The Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where she's doing the bedika kodem b'nish mashos. What does it mean that kedei shetifsok b'tara on b'nish mashos? So what is the meaning of this Shach? So first of all, the Achronim asked this question, what exactly is troubling him, the Sidrei Torah, among others. And we noted last time, I think at the end, that we find similar type of Lashonos in Rishonim. For example, the Rashba writes, Ve'ad, ve'ed shetifsok bo, ve'ed shetifsok, ve'ad, shetifsok bin ashmoshus betahara, ein esoferes shevinakiyim shalah, until she checks bin ashmoshus. So she can't begin her Shevinikim. That's what the Rashba writes. Dafnam Gimel on the base. Again, the same problem as the base Yosef noted. What do you mean? At Shetivdo, Shetivsok Be'enosh Mashos. Adarabba. You can't do the Hefsek Tara Be'enosh Mashos. You have to have done the Hefsek Tara before Be'enosh Mashos. What does the Rashba mean when he says, until you do the Hefsek Tara Be'enosh Mashos, you can't start Shevinikim? Take a look over there. Footnote 147 on that Rashba. He notes this point and says, well, it would sound like Rashba holds that even when you do the Hefsek Tara before Bein HaShmashos, let's say Samach L'mincha, it's only Chal Bein HaShmashos. That's what it means. And likewise, I saw that the Shevet HaLevi suggests that that is exactly what the Shach means here as well, that the Hefsek Tara is Chal Bein HaShmashos. Now, Mechateisi, that it's Chal Bein HaShmashos. In other words, why would it be, if you wish to think about it this way, that there'd be the separation between the mice and the chalos. The mice is done whatever, a half hour before shkia, and the chalos is b'nei shmashos. So perhaps, I thought it relates to an interesting question, right? The Kusai, the Gemara in Samach Tazmud Aleph, used to assume that we say mixasim kikulo on the day she does her hefsek tara as well. If she does her Hefsek Tara today, let's say Sunday now, so that, and it came out good, it would be the first of her Shevinikim. Just like we say Mixasim Kekulo on the last of her Shevinikim, and in some areas of Halacha, we do say Mixasim Kekulo in both directions, like Avelos. The Nida, though, for her, might be a little different. Maybe it's not a Halos, but she has to wait 7 days, and the day that she sees Dan, that's the first of the seven. So why is it that her Hefsek Tara can't work? So apparently, we have some type of Mesorah that Shevinikim can't begin till the next day. And that's exactly what's happening. That's what we're saying. The Hefsek Tara is only Chal Bein HaShmashos, such that because she can't begin her Shevinikim until the next day. Now, that is what they might be saying. Well, there are any nafgaminas to this idea. So I mentioned to you that there is this Kuntras Tashma on this Shach, and he suggests two nafkaminas. I didn't actually understand the second one, but I'll mention the first one. The first one was that if a woman does Hefsek Tara, let's say a half hour before Shkia, and then after she does her Hefsek Tara, 15 minutes later, she sees Dam Pachos Mikigras. So it's not enough Dam that would actually make her Asura if, let's say, she saw this much dam during the Shevinikim. However, over here, it would be a problem. Why? Why? Because maybe the point is that since her Hefsek Tara was not yet Chal, so it's invalid. You need it to be, you need to be perfectly clean between the Maisa Hefsek Tara and the Chalos Hefsek Tara. If she saw dam after Hefsek Tara before it's Chal, So then, in fact, that Hefsek Tara would be no good. Asked Rabbi Willow what he thought about this, and he said he thinks it makes a lot of sense. Though, since the poskim don't bring it, he doesn't even know if you have to be choshish for it. But he thought it was a nice inference in the in this Rashba, in the Shach.
Unless the Gris Hadash even was for her,
it's not. So you could, exactly, I agree with you. In other words, you could reject this for different grounds. You could have said that this isn't true because maybe it's not from her. Let's say it was a situation where you know it's from her or almost are certain it's from her, like is oftentimes the case. We are matir dam pachos mechigris even if it's vada mimen if it's shalei b'hargasha. Now I thought perhaps This would explain an interesting inference from the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef talks about, and we're going to get to it a little bit later in Sef Gimel, about wearing Levanim during Shiva Nikim. And the mashmos of these Rishonim is that you have to put the Levanim on after you do Yav Sitara. Now you could have said, why? Levanim is a minhag of Shiva Nikim. So why do you have to do it immediately after you do Yav Sitara? Right? The lesson of Mordechai, B'shem the Rokeach, the Yom Shiposek is Tivtak Asma, La'erev, the Tilbash Chaluk Lavan, Shem Tira, oh, the Yenikar B'chalukah. V'alayla, Tazim Sadinim Levanim B'mitasa. It's even more clear a little bit later on in Beis Yosef when he calls him the Smag. The Smag writes, of the Zal, Halachal Lamaisa, who Shahaisha Biyom Shaposakas Milleros Tilbash Bagadim Levan Nikiyam Niksamim, Kodem Shia Laila. The Tazcha Lispar Lamacharas, Yom Shiva Yamim, Shimva Imesirasa. So if the idea of Levanim is a din in Shiva Nikiyam, so there's no reason for it to do it now. But if you say like this idea, then Adarava, if anything, this might be the most important time to wear Levanim. This would also explain the question that we were asking before. We were very troubled. Why is it that everybody's so into this moch idea, right? Moch is a chumrah. Okay, maybe if it's a Yom Rishon, it's Medina, but in all other circumstances, it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah that none of the Tanaim require. It's a chumrah that the Tanaim themselves didn't even like conceive of. So why are we so into it? And for that matter also, why are we working so hard to be memayit to do the Hafsik Tara as late as possible, like we said before? Even if you think that it works Yom Rishon Shacharis, or Yom Sheni Shacharis, or Yom Shvi Shacharis, everybody agrees, Lochat Chila, you should be doing it late. Why? What's the idea here? Why? I mean, if we have a Chazaka, we have a Chazaka. But the answer is, maybe in particular over here, we're trying to minimize the time, the gap between the Maisa Hafsik Tara and the Chalos Hafsik Tara. And that's why, in particular, we're very machmir over here. Now, what's interesting is, okay, that idea here, again, as we noted, Beis Yosef, if he subscribes to this idea, takes it even one step further. It's one thing to say this by Shiva Nikiyam, because they don't actually start till the next day, like we said, against the Kusai. What's interesting is that the Beis Yosef applies this even to Nida, right? Where you could have said, you know, the chalos isn't in the same way. In other words, you should dafka do the bedika of the hefsek tara, which he does before. She should go to mikvah tonight, but that bedika, that hefsek tara, she should do as late as possible. And again, the Beis Yosef even thought if she did it v'nei shmashos of Yom Rishon, it works, and that's preferable. So this idea of playing up v'nei shmashos even in a nida, so that's certainly a much, much bigger chiddush, which the Beis Yosef though thinks is true. Okay. A very interesting question that we need to think about, perhaps related, is whether this concept of Hafsik Tara is deoraisa or derabana. So there's a Tosa Rosh, Shamach Tesamad Aleph, Dimaschal Yisrael Kodaitach. Over there he's talking about the sugi of Toa, that an Isha who doesn't know exactly when she finished bleeding, when did she finish her Shem Nikiyam Shila, when did she finish her Nida, she's all confused. Anyway, it says over there that she doesn't do tefillah b'yom, even if you'll tefillah on a mitzvah. The Gemara says, why not? Maybe it's her Yom Shvi, it's the seventh day of her Shem Nikiyam, so she should be able to go to mikvah today, I'll tefillah on a mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, you know, even though she's a Zava, so she requires Sfurim Lefaneinu, or at least according to some Tanaim, we'll get to that those details in a minute. So, but she should go to the mikvah. Asks the Tosarash, one second. Lamaisa, there was an Hafsik Tara. So how could she be Tovalas? Because even if you don't require Sfurim Lefaneinu, right? So, but she didn't do her Hafsik Tara. So it's true, maybe Klapish Maya Galia for the last 7 days, she hasn't been bleeding. Great. Right, because she's totally clueless. But maybe she didn't do Hafsik Tara. So the answer is two answers. She says, well, no, Hafsik Tara is just a chumrah ba'almahi. Midrabanan ve'nim nimnas b'shvil zeh v'litvol kevan d'tilam z'man ha'mitzvah. No, if you hold tilam z'man ha'mitzvah, then as long as klav yishmai galia, you didn't believe for the last 7 days, then today, you're on your Yom Shvi, there's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah. And therefore, of course, you know, lemaisa, you have to have hafsek tahara and 7 known days of being clean in order to be mutter lemaila. But if klapei shmaya galia, you were clean for the last 7 days, even though you didn't do a hafsek tahara, you should go to the mikvah. And you, if you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, you'd be mekayem mitzvah tefillah b'zman. So therefore, what's he basically saying? That hafsek tahara is just a chomer d'rabbanan. Answer two, second answer is no. If hafsek tahara might be deraisa, and therefore, l'chora he's saying, even in the event that for the last 7 days she didn't bleed, there's not a drop of blood for 7 days, still, there would be no point if we're going to the mikvah, because you need not just 7 clean days, but 7 known clean days, which have to be precipitated by hafsek tahara to know that you stopped. However, this lady, she did. Maybe she just doesn't remember. Maybe actually 7 days ago, she didn't have hafsek tahara, she forgot. But if a woman didn't do a hafsek tahara, according to the second answer, even if aliba de emes, she didn't believe for the last 7 days, then she couldn't go to the mikvah. So those are his two answers. So the Tosa Rush, here's A, misupik about whether hafsek tahara is deraisa, and B, really it's even a more fundamental suffix, which is the tara of the zava dependent on 7 days of non-bleeding plus going to the mikvah, or is it dependent upon 7 days of no non-bleeding and then going to the mikvah? If we look at the Rambam, l'chayra, he has a third shita. This is an Isur Ibiya part Vav. I'll just read starting from Halacha Chaf. He writes, Badka Atzma Matza Tmeya, Afilu Badka Beshvi'i Lenidasa, Uvena Shmashos Lo Badka Atzma, Kedei Lifrosh Mitumas Nida, Elohim Tina Yamim, Afarkach Badka Matza Torah, Arezu Safik Zavah. Now the truth is here he's talking about Nida. But l'chora from the sugya doesn't sound like there should be a chiluk. So there's this woman, and this woman goes ahead, and she doesn't do, she's a nida, she should have done a hafsek tahara on her 7th day, but she doesn't. So she goes, and then 8th day passes, 9th day passes, 10th day passes, and then the 10th day, she goes ahead and she does a Badika again, and lo and behold, it's tahor. Says the Rambam, what's her din? Safek zava. Right? What do you mean? Because maybe she also bled on day 8, day 9, and day 10, since she didn't do hafsek tahara on her 7th day of nida. Oh. Now, first of all, I think this certainly suggests that hafsek tahara is deraisa. Right, because this woman is going to, it sounds like the Rambam, she's going to bring a karban, ziva. Okay, it will be eno nacha, because it's machma safek. But it full-fledged rises to a safek. In other words, according to the Rambam, a woman doesn't do a hafsek tahara is begeder safek roa. And therefore, there's going to be a requirement to do hafsek tahara alt safek. So that's why I said it might be different than the two options of Tosa Rosh. Tosa Rosh, option one is totally derabat. Option two, deraisa, and at least for Zava, if it's not done, even if klapei shmaya galia did bleed, that doesn't matter. For the Rambam, l'chayra, the pshat is that machmas safek, she's going to have to do it. And if she didn't do her hafsek tahara, then what is she? She's a safek. Okay. There are a number of different shitos on the Shaila. The Chavos Das, Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav Sifkat and Gimel, is proves from Rashi, Samach Tesemet Beis, that Steve Russell Safarti, that he thinks Hafsek Tahara is Deraisa. There's Rashban quoting the Ur Zeruah. It's cited also in the Rashba, footnote 288, who thinks it's Derabanan. The Baal Amor at least quotes Miksas Chachamim, that Bedikos are not stated needed at all for Taros. For Baila, only for Taro. So there are differing shitas on this. There's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that if you, let's say, Bali tshuva, whose parents didn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, should they be presumed to be a Ben Nida? So Rav Moshe says, look, what's the problem with being a Ben Nida? You know, they don't have such good midos. So if you see that they have very good midos, then they're not a Ben Nida. Aye, but his mother never went to the mikvah. No, maybe she went swimming or something like that. Now, but one second, you know, she didn't do Efsek Tara. So the answer is, if we assume that that doesn't really matter because you don't need to know about it, then is it for sure against that Sadin the Tosa Rosh? Not necessarily, because maybe Rosh is assuming that Mustama she was a Nida, not a Zafa, and for Zafa, maybe you don't need this. But one way or the other, Rav Moshe seems to be taken for granted, you know, one way or the other. The Pashtun Rosh, he doesn't require, in other words, it might be required to rise like the Rambam says, Al Tzafek, but at least if Papish Mayagalia, she stopped, then she stopped. Doesn't matter whether she knows about it or not. Oh, now, so is there a way to accomplish this Hefsek Tara without actually, well, let's just take, sorry, one step back. If you say it's the Rabbanan, like the first Tzavim Rosh, it's Chomer Be'alma, what's the problem? Why isn't it a D'oraisa? So presumably the answer is very simple, because she didn't see any bud, right? Me'echa Tesi, she did. I mean, D'oraisa were not choshes for Agashav Lavadaita. So if she'd seen any blood during Shiva Nikiyim, so first of all, she would have Argasha, and she would have noticed it. And if she didn't, so then Mechatesi, there was anything. So that's what it presumably means. It's just a Chomer Drabanan. The Drabanan, they said, no, you know, you have to need some type of more positive affirmation that you stopped. Okay. So we obviously, whether D'oraisa, Drabanan, Sothek, whatever, we certainly require Hefsek Tara. But now we have to consider, well, is there any other way to do it? In other words, is doing a bedika with a bedika cloth and the like to show the shop bleeding, is that the only option? And this is important, Shaila, because sometimes you can't do a standard Hefsek Tara like with a aid bedika. Most commonly, if a woman has a maka, so she's actually stopped menstruating, there's no more menstrual blood, but every time she does a bedika, it's going to come out red. Why? Because she's got a maka, let's say, in the vaginal canal. So it's never going to come out good. And now you know it's not dam nida, and you could even be told of a maka, let's say if it's a maka yadush motzi adam, but you still haven't had positive ascertained evidence that she stopped. In other words, just because you can be told of the dam on a maka, but you don't have Hefsek Tara. So is there anything you could do without a actual bedika? So Nodu Yehuda Nuntas says, well, maybe it should be good enough if she stops, you know, during Banish Mashos, a minute before Banish Mashos, and she's going to focus and concentrate and think with all her mind that her makor has not opened, that no blood has left, and the like. And that should be called a Hefsek Tara. If you think about it this way, if like Hargasha is Psichas Pia Makor, and that's something that she would notice, so she could notice. She should be able to also have Sima Slave that didn't happen. So the Chassam Sofer Yerodeko finds out and says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Sima Slave that Shalom Niftach Mayana makes sense if her Mayan is currently closed. But that's exactly what we're trying to prove. In other words, maybe her Mayan is open. The way the Chassam Sofer is looking at it is, you know, when you start bleeding, the Mayan opens up and, you know, stays open until it's closed. So Sima Slave isn't going to help. I don't know, maybe they don't use Lashitasa, that he was thinking more in terms of Ziva Stavar Lach. So she could focus on no Ziva Stavar Lach, and that would be sufficient. Chazunish Tzadi Beis Yud says, well, since Midrabanan they were Metame, even without a Hargasha, regardless, this isn't going to work. Midrabanan. Now, as you need a Bedika Mamish. So even if theoretically the Nobu was right, Sima Slave would work on a D'oraisa level. And so what he's assuming is that Midrabanan, you need a Hefsek Tara for Dam D'rabanan, meaning to say Dam B'lo Yagasha. So Midrabanan, you need Hefsek Tara for Dam D'oraisa, for which conceivably Sima Slave might work if the Nobu is right. But Midrabanan, you need Hefsek Tara from Dam D'rabanan, meaning to even Dam without Agasha. For that, you need an actual Bedika. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are readers say back who says you need to have Sechtar from Dam Dirabanan. Anyway, even if we were to accept this Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be very hard for this to be practical at all nowadays, because since we don't have Hargashos, and so, you know, Sima's life would just be a joke. I mean, she's had Sima's life her whole life, and she's never once noticed the Hargasha, opening, closing, nothing. Very, very hard to use this in any practical sense. So there's another possibility that the poskim suggest that might work in the event that a woman can't do a hefsek tar, and that's known as the hefsek tar, the Zichron Yosef. What does Zichron Yosef say? Zichron Yosef says like this: look, this woman has, you know, she's been married for 20 years, and she never bled more than 5 days. Right? She always is able to get a hefsek tar by a fifth day. Okay. Now, it happens to be on her fifth day, she's got a maka, she can't do hefsek tar. But why can't she just assume that she stopped? You know, there's no en chazaka gadol mizu. Every single time she menstruated in the last 20 years, it never went for more than 5 days. So this is like a chazaka, an absolute chazaka. So she should be able to count that. That should be your hefsek tar. That's his kasha, or his suggestion. He brings a raya from the Gemara Daf Tesvav Beis. Gemara says that let's say the husband goes out of town and he comes back. So Baila Machashiv Yimei Vest Uvala. In other words, he thinks, okay, like when I left, she was, you know, at day X in her cycle. And then she went ahead and, you know, she got her, let's say she has a Vestis Kavua, right? So she got her period 8 days later. And then, you know, she bled for 5 days. And then she had Shifa Nikiyim. And now it's 23 days. So now I could, and he's Baila without even asking her. Now, 1 second. How do you know she did have Zikhtara? Says Zichron Yosef Gevaldik. She did have Zikhtara. What was her Zikhtara? She waited 5 days. 5 days is her Zikhtara. Because just like she has a Vesis Kavua for bleeding, she has a Vesis Kavua to stop bleeding. And therefore, Baila Mechash Lo Vesis. That's the Raya that Zichron Yosef brings. Sifrei Tara, Kof Tari Vav, Sifkan Chav Gimel says, now, there's a Raya from the Sugya and Sal Chasmadav, not like the Zichron Yosef. Because over there, sounds like if she didn't do a hefsek tara, she's b'cheskas safik tuma kol yameha. And Rick Vager says, don't bring me a raya from Daf Tesvav. That's not a raya. Why? Because over there, how did he even know she saw Adam? How did he know she became Anita? Also because of her vases, right? That's the Rabbanan. So over there, she became Anita. He knew she became Anita due to Vestos to Rabbanan. So then you can know she became a non-Nida through a Vestos to Rabbanan. Now, just like she started based off of her past history, so we could assume she stopped based off of her past history. But if we know for sure she started Midaraisa, so then how do you know she stopped? The Chazunish study base, Chaf base, says 1 second. But at the end of the day, there's a Rav Gamor. I mean, this always happens. Like, why shouldn't this work? Okay, you're right. It's Daraisa. But why shouldn't this work? So this question might get into a different question, which we're not going to learn now, but I'll just sort of raise the question, something to think about. I'll mention some of the answers, but really might come down to the following question, which is, why do we assume Vestos to Rabbanan? We assume we pass, it's Machlok Sengwar, we pass Vestos to Rabbanan. Why? I mean, like, it always happens. Right? What happened to Chazaka? We always follow Chazaka. Why would it be Vestos to Rabbanan? If every day, every month for the last 10 years, she always saw every 28 days, like clockwork. So why wouldn't Vestos be to Rabbanan? There are different types of answers. Rabbi Yehuda, for example, says that because, yes, it's true, Vestos creates a Chazaka, but it's going against Cheskas Tara. So therefore, we're going to assume she's Tahora until we know she's Tamei. Could be that if you learn like that, then the Zichron Yosef could make sense. Because on the one hand, she has a Cheskas Tuma over here. On the other hand, she has this Chazaka. She's not going to see more than 5 days. On the other hand, maybe just like we don't say Vestos are Oraisa. So not clear. What would you say? Would you say over here it's no good? We'd say the Vestos is the Rabbanon, because it's going against the Chazaka. Maybe not. The most obvious reason why you'd say Vestos deraisa, there are a lot of deraisa, is because she didn't see any dam and she didn't have any argasha, right? Well, if that's true, then the Zichron Yosef could make a lot of sense, right? Because Lamaisa, she didn't have any argasha. It's true she saw some dam, but maybe, but that's damaka. The Chazon Ish is a different theory. The Chazon Ish thinks the reason why Vasa is the Rabbanan, I think, is because like there's so many factors that could go into causing menstruation. Well, Chora, then you could have said the same thing over here. There's so many reasons that could cause it to keep on going. You know, typically it would stop. Not so clear. So at the end of the day, the Chazon Ish concludes about this. This is the Chazon Ish, by the way, that I sent out in my Makamos. He says, two reasons. One is maybe midrabanan, you still need to have sektar, like you said before. Have sektar is an absolute requirement, midrabanan. Number two is the whole concept of Zichron Yosef makes sense if it's normal bleeding. If it's es nidasa, so then she always starts and she always stops at the same time. But the fact that we midrabanan say we have to treat her as a zava, another treat her as low es nidasa. So once it's low es nidasa, whatever, what past performance doesn't indicate what's going to be this time, because this is abnormal. And therefore, in the end of the day, the Chazon Ish is unwilling to rely on the Zichron Yosef. And then he says, maybe even if it's going to work for Hafsik Tara, because we say for sure she stopped, but it's not going to work for Shiva Nekiyim, because then you need a Chazaka, a Hochacha Vadai, not just a Chazaka. So this woman with the Makkah still might be stuck. Now, if that was your only concern, you might be better off, because maybe at least it's a really big Shas Adchak, we could just rely on B'dikas Yom Shvi, so if you can wait till then, it's going to be okay. Other poskim do accept the Zichron Yosef. Taras Abayis, it's on page Reishon and Beis, Reishon and Gimel, says you could be Somech B'Shas Adchak and Zichron Yosef, because Eskimu L'Dvarav Kama Ge'onei Olam, and Dvarav Mistaver. I think Rabbi Sabalowski might say in his Sefer that Rov Achronim assume like the Zichron Yosef, though it's hard to rely on it against the Sidrei Tara, the Rav Kiviger, the Chazon Ish. So what do we do, halach l'maisa, when a woman is a makas? Baruch Hashem, nowadays, usually it's much easier to deal with. And we don't have to rely on this Zichron Yosef anymore, because when women have a makas, we can actually have a doctor or a bodekes look and see the makas. You could use a speculum to see into osamakom, and I could also see that she's no longer bleeding, right? And in lecha hefsek tar gadol mizu, they see her cervix, they see it's, there's no blood coming out. We could see the source of the blood. The source of the blood is going to be the, the maka, let's say, there on the side. Sometimes she could actually do hefsek tar, so take a bedika cloth, the bodekas that is, and do the bedika, just avoiding the spot where the maka is. But the truth is, if you can't do that for whatever reason, as long as she can visually see that if sika b'tahara, that should really be enough. And ma'aseh b'chol yom, women do that. When you read the Piskei Teshuva, there's all these like really tragic stories about women who would like never become mutaros because of these makos. Oftentimes, we're able to solve those problems nowadays. A lot of times, what we'll suggest for such a woman is that once she's by the bodekas, we'll have her do the hefsek tara, and then do after tzeis kochavim bedikas yom rishon. Talk about bedika balayla, but b'shas adchak, I think we may go, so that she doesn't have to come back the next day to do second time to do a bedikas yom rishon. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Okay, so let's turn to sif aleph. So, as we said before, what's the ideal time to do a,
in places like out of town, they don't have bodekas?
Yeah, so usually any doctor could do it. In other words, you're talking, well, we'll get back to Nemanos HaRofi a little bit later. But happens to be, I always want somebody from out of town community asked me about this. And I said, there's nobody in the show who's a nurse practitioner, who's a general doctor, the like, And she said she was able to find someone, and even in her show, who was willing to do it. She can't, so go to a regular doctor, gynecologist, anyone. It's not like high tech. It's just like this little machine bed. That's not a machine. It's looks like scissors almost, sort of. It just opens it up and allows you to look in that place. Sometimes it's hard, but usually, a solution could be found. Okay. So halacha ma'aseh, when are you supposed to do your hafzik tara. So l'chatchila, what we see is as close to beinish mashus as possible. Samach l'beinish mashus. So what does samach l'beinish mashus mean? So good advice is within a half hour. The Bach writes this, the Chachmas Adam, Shevet Levi. Why a half hour? That's one is it's like samach, like Arvim Shachem. But there's another reason, as we'll see, for it's good. Even though in theory, maybe you could say, all right, wait till 1 minute before Shkia. Well, 1 minute before Shkia might be 1 minute after Shkia. Well, okay, so 5 minutes before Shkia. Okay, but then you might end up forgetting and do it 1 minute after Shkia. Moreover, you do it a half hour before Shkia, you could have a couple of tries. If the first one is questionable or bad, so do it again 15 minutes later. And if that's also bad, you could try again if you want a third time, 14 minutes later, and then you're still a minute before Shkia. We'll talk about later on whether you need to separate them or not, but certainly it's a good idea to separate them by 10, 15 minutes if you can, as we'll explain later. So half hour A gives you a little bit of a cushion in terms of time, gives you a couple of chances. So that's really the best time. You know, set an alarm on your phone, half hour before Shkia, do your Hafzik Tara, that's great. Okay, but sometimes it's not so convenient. So then if you could do it anytime after Mincha Ketana, right, 2.5 hours before Shkia, then that's sort of the next best time, and that's okay. That's what the Mishnah says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. L'chora, Mincha L'mala, we saw that Reis Yosef at least thinks that's Mincha Ketana. So that's next best thing. That's also okay. What about if that's not going to work either? Can you do it Shacharis? So really, Mikredin, yeah. You could do it Shacharis, even Yom Sheni L'Riyasa. And that works as well. And Mamish, or maybe even Yom Rishon, as long as you do Moch or the like, we'll get that in Sif base. Yeah.
Two and a half hours.
It shows money. Yeah.
The half hour.
I don't know. I think a half hour is fine. 30 minutes is okay.
Terms of the waiting amount of time between half hours, that's not
going to be shows. Yeah, exactly. But even beyond that, he's saying, like Samach L'mincha M'sachem, so it's around the spring, it's going to be this half hour regardless, right? But L'chayra Samach doesn't necessarily should be Shos Manios. That's why I think the post can say half hour. I think that makes sense. Okay. Fine. Now, the Bar Yishulchan writes that if she did a bedikah in the morning, so like we said, it's good, but since it's not ideal, she do another bedikah again after Mincha Ketana. If she can. But you still might advise such a person. Let's say a woman goes ahead. She's in a situation where she doesn't know if she's going to be able to do a bdika later on in the day. She's going to be at work. She's going to be in play, traveling, who knows what. So at least if she, you know, she stopped bleeding already in the morning, it's a good idea to do the bdika in the morning. And that way she knows she has it in her back pocket, right? And if things get busy later, she's hectic later, whatever it is, she doesn't have to worry. And then if she has a quiet moment sometime after Mincha Ketana to do a second one, then she could do a second one. But she doesn't have to drive herself crazy. She doesn't have to anxiety. She's worried. Then she could just rely on that one in the morning and feel safe and secure. And sometimes that's a good advice to give people who expect to be stressed out about it. Okay. Now, let's say the following. Okay, before we get to that, the question of after Shkia, a couple of minor points. The Taz Sifkatan Aleph, quotes a Marshal Nechuvo, says that our women that wait till the sixth day, as we're going to see in Sif Yud Aleph, Shita Shechola Limnos Achar Tfilas Arvis. Now, what does that mean? Sounds like they could do the Bedika after Mairiv. There's no problem. But why should, what does that do with the Bizman Hazeh? as the Dalam Yavava points out. Dalam Yavava over here says this doesn't make any sense. So far what the Taz means is as follows, that since they count 5 days, meaning to say, as we'll see later on, that they are not, which is a big chumrah, they're not going to do Efsek Tara until the 5th day from the onset of menstruation. So therefore, we could be Mako. Why? Why? Either pshat is because since the whole 5 days is a chumrah, so mamela you could be Mako, even if, because the mice, what kind of shash is the poleta shechvasera, or it could be as well that the very interesting point, the Turas Adeshen, right, which is this whole chumrah, this idea of not, you know, counting Myriv, he says it's only because when it's bidei Adam. So when it's bidei Shemayim, then it's okay. So again, just to clarify what the test actually means, which would avoid the problem of the Dagomir Vava, is like this. Let's say, even though there's a discussion whether you could do Efsek Tara after Shadav and Myriv, after this man Myriv, after everybody down Myriv, one of the things you see in our segment, very interesting, all the women sit to have been davening Myriv early, but davening Myriv nonetheless. So let's say like this. Let's say she, along with a whole cow, daven Myriv at 7 o'clock on Sunday. And then 7:30, she starts bleeding. And then 8 o'clock is Shkia. So that's no problem. Sunday will be day one for her. And that's going to be, even if you hold like that Trumas Hadeshen, that we can't count. We already see after Marv is like the next day. So maybe you'll say, okay, so Monday should be day one out of five. No, we'll count Sunday's day one out of five because A, this whole thing is such a chumrah, and B, it's B'day Shemai. Good. That's just a minor ara on the Taz Aleph. Shach Dalet. Whoa, what a weird idea that the Shach presents. The Avi Asaf. The Agur. So it says like this. Sounds like he's saying that we should follow not Shaus Manios here, but fixed hours. So let's say Chatzos is 1 o'clock. So she shouldn't do her Hefsek Tara after 7 o'clock in the summer, right? Even if Shkia is only at 8 o'clock. It almost sounds like the Shach thinks it's truly night. After 7 o'clock, right? 6 hours after Chatzos, 60-minute hours after Chatzos, it's night. And especially, at least if she daven Marv. So it's after 7 o'clock, plus it's 60-minute hours, then again, it, like the Shach sounds like it's night. I don't know if she could eat matzah. So that's irrelevant, like we said, it's around an equinox. But so Dagomir Vava says, what is he talking about? There's two Dagomir Vavas on this. Very, very perplexing. What about the Avi Asaf? So the Avi Asaf is about Vestos. So Ken Zayin, that you could under, and the Shach quotes it originally by Vestos. He invokes it here. Maybe there you could say that Vestos are somehow totally in fixed time patterns. And so these patterns follow your 60-minute hours and not, you know, don't change as the days get longer and shorter. But when it comes to being Kaiveya, Zman, Lailan, Zman, Yom, it's really paladic to think that this Avi Asaf about Vestos should be relevant over here. Since when do 60-minute hours have any bearing in terms of the nighttime starting? It's a paladic Ashach. Okay. Yeah.
The Shach would also say the opposite.
Well, it's hard to, that's even harder to imagine, but one would wonder, according to that theory, but he doesn't say that. But you could imagine such a thing. I don't know. Okay. All the Achronim, I think, are Tameh on the Shach. So, very, very common question. All too common. Rabbi, I did my Efsek Tara a minute after Shkia, 5 minutes after Shkia. What do I do? So, what's the din? So, according to many poskim, I'm sorry, I have to wait another day. It's the view of Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Sternbach, and many others, and Mr. Kirelitz, Chot HaShani, Rabbi Yashiv, Kovach Chuvos, Chelik Basim, and Mem Beis Sef Aleph, and others as well. What could you do? right? It's banish mashos, like the Beis Yosef said, you do a safek yom, safek lila. You have to do your half sitar beforehand. And we assume it's banish mashos starting with shkia rishayna. There are some poskim who say, well, maybe a couple minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. Where'd they come up with this year? 3 or 4 minutes? I don't know. Maybe a seikos, a chneis, you know, sea level. Very, very fishy. What is this based off of? But maybe there's a much better suffix. This is the view of Avadia, as well as many others. This is, if you want to take a look, there's a very beautiful discussion in this in Tarsabayas, page Resh Samachay to Resh Ayin Dalad. Avadia says we have a stake up to 13 minutes. Why 13 minutes? Because 13 minutes is more or less the Zman of the Grah. So why? What's the stake? And again, 13 minutes would be in Yerushalayim, B'tkufas Nisan, and in New York, where it's further north, it would be longer, and in the summer it would be longer, and in the winter a little shorter, but we'll just call it 13 minutes for now. So what is this based off of? So Ravadia says, I have a sex fake now. Maybe she didn't see at all since the beginning of Beinish Mashos. Right? So let's say she does 5 minutes after Shkia. Well, who says she saw any dam in the last 5 minutes? Something, maybe she saw something she didn't see. Vimtim Tzolomar, that she did see, but maybe it's Yom. In other words, Spanish Mashos, Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So she did her Asitar 5 minutes after Shkia, which was good, good, good. And, you know, Laila started 6 minutes after Shkia. So she ended up getting Asitara, called him Laila. So we have a Sfeik Sveika. Sfeik Sveika. Now, then he says, one second, maybe she bled, maybe she didn't bleed. But don't we have an absolute requirement for Efsek Tara, regardless if she bled or not? So this brings us back to the very first Shiloh we talked about today, when we talked about whether Benish Mashah, oh, not the first Shiloh, the second Shiloh, we talked about Efsek Tara's device or not. In other words, he's assuming, Raji is assuming, that why do you need Efsek Tara? To show she stopped. But if Klapish Maya, sort of like Rav Moshe was assuming, if Klapish Maya, she didn't bleed, so she didn't bleed. So this is perfectly good Shevinakim, right? She go to the mikvah. As long as Aliba de MS for the last 7 days, she didn't have any blood, she go to the mikvah after the seventh night, right? So maybe that happened. So that's a list of suffix. Okay. Suffix derisa l'chumra, fine. But it's a suffix. Even if we're going to accept a Rambam that Efsek Tara is a chiyuv deraisa. But Efsek Tara is a chiyuv deraisa only out suffix. Only out, maybe she bled, or maybe she didn't bleed. So, right, it's at least, right, we have this 5 minute window from the beginning of Shkia till 5 minutes later when she did her sektar. Maybe she bled, maybe she didn't bleed. So that's suffix one. And Vimtin Salomar, she did bleed, but maybe nightfall didn't start until 6 minutes after Shkia. So therefore, you have a great stake fake up. And then he says, fine.
Why do I need to grow?
Ah. Well, he didn't even get into Rabbi Nisham. This is assuming the Grah. And then he says, well, are you going to tell me that there are those who say, the Shach and the Taz are Machmir for Sfeik Sfeik and the Cheskos Isser? Here she has a Cheskos Isser. So he says, well, first of all, not everybody agrees to the Shach and the Taz. But even if you want to be Choshishit, then I'm going to tell you a third Safik. I have a third Safik. And the Shach says, if you have a Sfeik Sfeik Sfeik, then you're Makel even for a Cheskos Isser. In other words, it's not going to be worse than a Vaday Isser. So therefore, I have Rabbi Nisham. Maybe it's Rabbeinu Tam, is right, in which case this is Vada Yom. If Rabbeinu Tam is wrong, then, and Agra is right, but it's still Safik Yom, Safik Laila, so I have a Seik Seik Seika. And then he says, not only do I have a Seik Seik Seika, I'm going to have another, well, before we get into his more Seikos, he's like, gets up to, I think, like 5 Seikos. But before we go on to Safik number 4, we have to stop for a moment and say, is Rabbeinu Tam really a Safik? I have a question. In Eretz Yisrael, like, there are some people that are choshish for Rabbeinu Tam Shita, let's say for Ramalach on Motzei Shabbos, but most people are not, right? There's actually, Ike told me, a whole controversy about whether Rav Avadia was choshish for Rabbeinu Tam or not. Because, like, in this presentation, he says, Safik Rabbeinu Tam, Safik Gonim. He doesn't call it the Grub. Safik Gonim, Safik Rabbeinu Tam. So if it's Safik Dereis L'Chumra, for sure he didn't do Malacha. Did he do malacha? So apparently he used to treat it as a suffix when he was younger. Rabbi Natan was a suffix after all. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote even the Gaonim at all. So it's at least a suffix. So, and therefore, yeah, Taka would have been asked to do malacha. Then later on, apparently he felt that following Rabbi Natan was more of a chumrah. Then later on, apparently it was more kal. There was this story that he got into a car being driven by a Jew 15 minutes after Shkia, based off of the Gra. And then they like put out in his calendars that this man is 15 minutes, and then they got put into Chayrim, so they took it off. And that, we can get to the details from Ike. But there seems to be a lot of ambiguity about whether he really treated Rabbi Natan as a suffix.
So he was very young, so works out. That's why it's his first work, right?
So I don't know. It's the first, but it was an earlier work. But I'll tell you something else also, and I don't know if this corresponds or not, but on the Shaila of being Megal after Shkia, he seems to get more and more Machmir. And, you know, in the later versions or citations, only like Shasat Chagadol, B'makom Puravu, or the like. So it could be that it corresponds. As he's got more Megal about Rabbi Natan, he got more Machmir about the Shaila, because it's very, very hard to imagine to say that something is not begeder suffix such that you could do malacha, right? We're going to allow you to do malacha 50 minutes after Shkia because Rabbeinu Tam is not a shaila. It's not something to raise al chumra, right? Rai Willig thinks Rabbeinu Tam is not even a suffix. It's a very strange idea. What do you mean? It's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. It's like, of the Rishonim that talk about it. I mean, you could say everyone who does anything doesn't look like Rabbeinu Tam. But even if you're going to say that, but there are lots and lots and lots and lots of Rishonim in the world like Rabbeinu Tam. So the answer is, but Hachosh Makhash. At the end of the day, we go outside and we could see plenty of stars 50 minutes after Shkia. So how did they see it? It's an interesting question. Very willing that likes us. This is interesting. Sefer, two-volume Sefer on Zmanim and Halacha, on the origin of how they stopped following Rabbeinu Tam and relate to this standardization of time. And this, whatever answers you give, at the end of the day, unless you're going to try to do what Rav Moshe does, which is to say, well, we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, and we also hold 50 minutes and maybe even 40 minutes after Shkia's Vade Laila, because Rabbeinu Tam, 72 minutes means when you can see stars. And Kochan Barnonium, and then you sort of divide that into four sections, and that those are your 4 mil, and they're not 18-minute mils, they're 10-minute mils, 12-minute mils, 13-minute mils, which is also like very strange. I mean, what happened to all the mils everywhere else? So very willing things still. Whatever it is, however it happened. Another time we can talk about how, but we are not close. We don't treat Rabbeinu. You want to be Ma'amir for Rabbeinu Tam? You can be. We don't treat Rabbeinu Tam as a suffix. So if we can be a tarot to a seksekah. So Mevadia apparently thought you could. Very hard to understand if that how that could be compatible with doing malacha. Api shita sagonim, but that is seemingly what he says. But then he has more sfeikos. Not all of them are equally compelling. He thinks, well, Rabbi Yossi, we really pasmaker didn't like Rabbi Yossi, that is Beinu Shvatzkei Ka'ayin, and it's after the Shita of the other Shita. So then, first 13 minutes is Vaday Yom, even if you learn like the Gra. And he quotes Bir Halachos, very, you know, maybe Mikra didn't we follow Rabbi Yossi. So putting all those sfeikos together, at the very least, B'Shas Avchak, you have 13 minutes or so of wiggle room, even for Hafsik Tara. Rabbi Willig doesn't accept this for a number of reasons. First of all, like we said, he doesn't think Rabbeinu Tam is even a safek. Second of all, he thinks all these sfeikos are shem echad. Maybe it's Laila, maybe it's Laila, maybe it's Laila, maybe it's Laila. Or Yom, I should say. Right? But he has other issues. He thinks that if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, if you add that to a sfeika, so then you're going to end up with a sfeika that's a tarti de sasri. Which Tosus, take a look, Nida Chavtes Medalti Mas Choteshiv has, though, because if you were to be Meikel for the first 13 minutes and then be Meikel for the last 13 minutes, so the only Benish Mashos is the period of time between those two cases, which isn't Benish Mashos Lekulei Alma. Now, it's not so clear you have to worry about a Tarti de Sasri, if they're not Sosir Zesem Basachas, and maybe this isn't, we don't have time to get into it now because we have to stop in a minute. Willard does not accept these things. Some, like based off of Rav Moshe, in a number of places, like Igros Moshe Chelik Dalet Simin Samach Beis, holds that you have 9 minutes after Shkia. That would be because of, like I said, his cheshbin of how to calculate Rabbi Nutam. And therefore, based off Rav Moshe, you have 9 minutes. Other poskim say that Rav Moshe is a very, very big chiddush. There's some discussion whether the Mishnah Berurah held of it because of the comment he says in Nidchei Yisrael. We don't have time to go into it. One last point, and then we'll have to stop. Which is, what about if Safik Bein Hashmashos? I don't remember. Was it a minute before Shkia, a minute after Shkia? Is there any more of it Sat to be made? In the end of the day, Rav Moshe is about this also. It's still one Safik. Safik Yom, Safik Laila. And this is basically what the Magen Avraham writes, not for the Rebbe's Chiddush. Obviously, if you hold like Rav Avadia, you can be Mako. And even those, there are those who maybe would be Machmir after Shkia, but a Safik Shkia, they are willing to be Mako. But Rav Willing is Machmir in this case as well. Okay, now I just want to point out one last point. This is only for Hasek Tara. In other words, if it's one of the Shiva Nikiyam Bedikos, then there's more room for leniency because then you do have a valid Sfeik Sfeika. Like, for example, let's say she forgot to do a Bedika day one until after Shkia. So even though we say you need to do Bedikas 1 and 7, but then we could say, well, maybe really one Bedika throughout Al Shiva Nikiyam is okay. Then Tim Salomar, it's not. Maybe this was still Yom. Or likewise, if the 7th day Bedika was after Shkia. It only really gets stuck if both day 1 and day 7 were both after Shkia. Because then you'd only have one, right? Then you only have one Bedika in 7. Talk about whether Shasul Chaki could be relying on 1 out of 7 against what the Shulchan Aruch advises, but that wouldn't be good. But let's say you did, you know, all your other Bedikos you did normally, except for day 1, which you only remembered after Shkia, that you could be Mekel on. But not for the Hafsik Tara. Okay. We will stop here and Bezuz Hashem, pick up tomorrow.
Shaul told me in his experience, many women who say they did a Bedika after Shkia don't know that after candlelight is different than after Shkia.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, make sure that. That's a very good point. Ask them what time. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for writing to your shirt. She doesn't Bedika.
So you want to say, like, based off that point, we'll talk about it a little later, that maybe a Bedika tells us a little bit about the past, not just the present, right? So that's an interesting theory, but we don't know exactly how much that works. In other words, so what do you think? It gives you a minute, an hour, 5 minutes, right? So we're not going to rely on that. And Adarabba, you might need that. We can return to that question when we talk about what a Bedika is actually trying to accomplish.
So, from Willa Colton, I said, Tara's a Bedika Raisa, and she's rather great until she does that. Because otherwise, you have a good stake.